Good morning, good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding forth again this morning on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. I wish you'd stay tuned for the next 15 minutes, hear another message from God's Word on the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Before we get started, let me give you my mailing address. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, here at Radio Mission, bringing you another study on God's Word. And we're looking at a series of studies now, have been for the last several days, weeks, entitled The Preacher. Oh, we've looked at all sorts of things about the preacher, who he is, where he is, what the Lord's done for him, his characteristics, and all of those things. And we've come down today to this subject, the preacher and his family. Yes, we want to speak to you this morning on the preacher and his family. You see, we're still dealing with the preacher. God's man, the preacher, he's one whom the Lord has saved and called and placed in the ministry here. From reading God's Word, we gather this great truth, that God intended that his minister, his pastor, was to preach the gospel. Who was to preach the gospel? His man, whom he called to preach the gospel, should be married. Now, we may be going to jump a creek here. Some of you folks may get all excited about it, but listen, the preacher who is not married finds himself at a great disadvantage in handling the church of Christ and preaching the gospel. He'll find himself subjected to many temptations he would otherwise not have to face. So, as God gives the qualifications of a minister, of a pastor, stating that he must be the husband of one wife, it indicates that he wants his minister to marry and have a family. Nowhere is it taught in God's Word, the celibacy of the ministry. Now, nowhere. You can go back, you can research it, you can look wherever you want to, and these folks that spout off about the pastor, the preacher, the priest, or whoever it is, being celibate, not having a wife, it's not in God's Word. It's a tradition. It's just a tradition, and nowadays I see and hear, I read the religious periodical, it's almost a sham how many of them have illegitimate children, have families, have not married, but yet they have women, they have children, they father children, and then many of them turn out to be child molesters because of some sort of a devilish passion they have. But the Lord, in his wisdom, set forth that the man of God should be the husband of one wife. Now, we've often looked at that in dealing with women preachers. I have many, many times dealt with women preachers, and the Bible says that the man of God should be the husband of one wife, and that's true. But let's look at it from the preacher's standpoint. He must have a wife. Did you know that? The Bible says he should have a wife, one wife. Not three, not four. I know a man that has three living wives. Well, he's not one of God's ministers. No, sir. Listen to that. Let's notice further the preacher. First, the Scripture says he must rule his own house well. Now, we're going to hit on some stuff here, some things here that may startle you. But the Bible says that the preacher must rule his own house well. And I know in the Protestant denominations mostly, what little bit I know about them, the average preacher's church, the average preacher's children live like ruffians, live like hoodlums. That's right. They get up to be teenage boys. They drink, smoke, run around, carouse around, embarrass their daddy and their mother. But the pastor's supposed to be the head of that house, my friend. In other words, the gospel minister is the head of the house, and his wife and children take their rightful place in that home as submissive to his leadership. Now, there's no rule there. There's no room there for error. There's no, well, I just couldn't do a thing with my boy. Yes, you could. You could if you'd have started soon enough, if you'd have laid out yourself in the Lord's will, if you'd have went to the Lord, had gone to the Lord, said, Lord, I need some wisdom. I need some guidance here. I didn't have any trouble with my family. I wasn't a pastor of a church when my family was coming up, but I ruled my house like the old trailblazer here, Pastor Shelton, said many years ago. He said his dad ruled a house under the stars and stripes, that he furnished the stripes and they saw the stars. Well, that's the way. Now, my friend, I don't believe in being cruel to a child. No, sir. I love my children, my grandchildren. I love them. But I know you've got to be firm with them. You've got to be strong with them. You got to bend them in the right direction when they're little. I saw a four-year-old standing outside of a cafeteria the other day giving his daddy unshirted hell, kicking the post, kicking the building, kicking his daddy. And, yeah, I said under my breath, I'd love to have him about 5 minutes. That's right. That's right. And then I saw a little child riding a bicycle out on the street out here where I could see him out of my office window the other day, a little old bicycle. He kind of turned it over and fell on his side and got up and kicked the bicycle four or five times, turned it over and kicked it again. Oh, I wish I could. If I could have just been there by him with a good razor strap or a belt, I'd have stopped that. 4 years old, kicking a bicycle? No, sir. And this won't be long before he'd be kicking his mama. Probably already doing it. But listen, listen, listen. Those children has to recognize him as the head of the home, the voice of authority. When you see a minister whose wife rules him or runs the roost, he becomes henpecked. You can put it down that the henpecked husband and the hen herself know nothing about the new birth. Now, I make that statement unequivocal, my friend. When you see a pastor, when you see a young man preaching the gospel, so-called, and letting his wife call the shots. Now, let's bring that on in to the non-minister. We have folks that I know, whom I know. We have folks whom I know that their wife, oh, it's subtle. It's subtle. They don't rant and rave and embarrass him out in company. But when they get home, she lays the law down to him. I have women now that I know of. I asked a man, y'all come be with us. No, we can't come. The mother speaks up before he gets a chance to say anything. You better shut up, woman. That's not your place. That's not your place. I asked folks, y'all come see us when you can. Well, we can't come. Well, they don't give him a chance. You know what that is? That's a sign of rebellion against her husband. And he's got a no backbone, a weak little old wimp of a backbone. He ought to turn around and say, Mother, I'll take care of this now. Just give me a chance. I'll talk to the pastor whether we can come or not. No, he don't say a word, and she does the talking. She's ruling the children, got a couple of young boys, going to bring them up to be little nimby-pamby sissies because they can't get out of their mama's coattail. No, and all daddy sits in the back seat of the car, and she drives. That's the worst thing I ever heard of, my friend. Listen, that's just a sign of rebellion against God and against leadership. When you see the pastor, you look at him, you watch him. When his wife tells him what to do, she don't have to say a word. Listen now, listen. Also, it further says he must have his own children in subjection with all gravity. They must come to recognize his voice of authority in the home, and that he is the head of the home. I've noticed, my friend, over a period of years, that there are three types of men. First one rules his home with a rod of iron. Therefore, his wife and children live two lives. One while he's present, and another because of fear, and the other when he's away. That's right. They live two different lives. They're afraid of him. He rules them with a rod of iron. Therefore, they become stilted, hardened towards the gospel. They don't move with the freedom to move in and out of his life. No, there's no love there. There can't be. It's nothing but the life of fear. Now, I know homes like that. I know homes like that. The children are just made to obey so tight. I knew a family one time who had a young girl that they had adopted when she was a baby, and they wouldn't let her do this. They never went to a ball game with her. They never went to a roller skating match with her. They never took her anywhere, and they expected her to be a model child. Well, they was getting kind of elderly. And so when she got to be in high school, they'd go off and go to bed at night, and she'd go out the window. Now, that's right. I know who they are. They're both dead now, bless their soul. But she's not. She never did get saved. She hadn't got saved yet because they didn't make her mind, and they caused her to have to slip around, lead two lives. That's right. That's right. Now, listen, this position of the preacher in the home is foreign to God's word. No, that don't even smell like religion, does it? Again, we've noticed many preachers who were spineless, became henpecked, and had no voice of authority at all. Now, I can name you folks like that. Either the wife or one of the children became the voice of authority. This is also abnormal, spells ruin and wreck for the preacher's ministry. In both cases, the new birth would solve all of these problems. Pastor Shelton used to say 95% of our problems would be saved by the new birth. I believe 99, 44, 100%. Listen. Then, third, as a man of God who rules his house with a rod of love. Now, that's what we're looking at, my friend, today. His wife and children live in subjection or submission to their husband, to their father. They recognize him as a voice of authority. There won't be peaches and cream every day, because when you have authority over someone, whether it's a business or whether it's a church, whether it's in the schoolroom, I ran a business for many, many years, and I had the voice of authority. And when I had to correct one of my employees, they didn't like it, but they knew it was for their betterment. They knew it was for their good. And when you do take care of your children like that, you protect them. And then it's a fine line we have to walk, my friend. I know that, with all the pressure that's on our children today. I know that. But listen, love takes care of a lot of that, my friend. Oh, listen, they know he loves them. They know he loves them. My children know I love them. They knew I loved them when they were small. And listen, they find this way of peace, tranquility, and victory. You can sit down, have fellowship together. One thing I've noticed, that a born-again wife learned obedience to her husband before she ever got saved. And I tell you, some of you young women in our mission places especially, you tell me you want to be saved, you cry them crocodile tears, but I tell you, until you learn subjection to your husband, you'll never be saved. Now, don't get mad with me. Don't get mad with me. You'll never be saved until you learn subjection. And I don't believe in a man being a tyrant to his wife. She's not his old lady. You want to make me mad? You call your wife your old lady. She's the queen of your home. And let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you something, pastor. Let me tell you something, young preacher. You love them. You love her, but yet you're the head of the house. The Bible charges you that to be the head of the house, the wife is to be in subjection. And she won't do it unless you control the home. Listen now. In like manner, the children, before the children get saved, they come to find that their father is a voice of authority. And listen, you can always tell when young people come to service, come here in our Sunday school, come here in our Bible class, come here in our preaching service. You can always tell whether they've been brought up in a home. When they've been brought up in a home, that's right, a home that was where their daddy was the head of the house. That's right. I know all that, my friend. I know exactly what I'm talking about. What a joy it is to be around children that's come up under the sound of the gospel, and their pastor, their dad, has brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know that, my friend. I know that. And all of those things. But listen, the father is the head of the house. The pastor is the head of the house, just as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the man head of the woman, parents the head of the children. This is all clearly set forth, if you want to read it, in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. I wish I had more time this morning, but our time gets away so rapidly. We'll look there again in our next message. But let me give you my mailing address. Let me ask you, would you sit down and write me? Many of you here in the Old Trailblazer for the first time, you may not agree with everything I say, but would you sit down and write me? Would you help me with the broadcast if you do agree with me? Many folks write here and say, go on, Trailblazer, keep on. We love your message, but they don't help us with the broadcast. Would you do that? Would you sit down and help us? We could use some help right now. The summer months coming to a close, and we could use some help. The summer months, always the offerings drop off in the summer. People take God's money and spend it on the vacation, on the beach, or somewhere else. But would you sit down and write me and send me a generous offering? Just say, Pastor, put this on the old Trailblazer broadcast. I'd like to help you stay on the air. Would you do that? I wish you would. My mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And let me give you this information. You folks who have the computer, now you can pick me up live on WLNO at 8:45 every morning, Monday through Friday, at www.wlno.com. Yes, on the Internet there, broadcasting on the Internet. On WLNO, which is our local station here in New Orleans, also our 11 o'clock service for on Sunday morning, 11 to 12, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, on www.wlno.com. I wish you'd tune us in. Let me know if you're picking it up. I appreciate hearing from you. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer. My heart's heavy for you this morning, heavy for our young preachers. I wish you'd take up God's Word and read it and study it. Remember, This is the old Trailblazer saying goodbye and God bless you.